ॐ ध्यायामो धवलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धावाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We'll be discussing the 33rd shloka of Saundarya Lahari. So in the 32nd shloka, Shankara spoke about the Panchadashakshari mantra as Shiva Shakti Kamaha Bhajante Varnaste Tavajanani Nama Avayavatam. So he spoke about Panchadashakshari mantra and to the devatas. Devatas who are denoted by the each of the letter in the 15-lettered mantra. So in this shloka, he gives the Phalashruti. It's a kind of, not, you can't call it Phalashruti exactly, but in this shloka, after explaining about the mantra, Shankara gets into the fruit of the mantra as to what would a person gain if he chants the mantra. So Japam of Panchadashakshari Mantram, what would that give? So in many cases, even in Gita has a Phalashruti. In one of the Purana, Gita's Phalashruti is given. So Phalashruti means like praising the Phalam or speaking about the Phalam of a work. So there are many places where Phalashruti of like Anima, Adi Siddhis and all those are mentioned. So many people, including Paramartha, consider all those as Arthavadam. So all the Phalashruti or the Phalam that a person gains out of learning of a work can be considered partly Arthavadam, not completely Arthavadam as Paramartha says, but partly, because the goal of Vedantic scripture, the goal of Vedantic literature is Anandam. So that a person will always get. So wherever it speaks about Anandam as the fruit of any particular sadhana, then we can suppose or we can assume or take it for granted that if there is some Vedantic approach behind the particular activity, particular sadhana, then it will definitely take us to Anandam. And for a person who has gained Anandam, person who has realized Brahman and he is always immersed in contemplation of Brahman, like he is always having Anandam, worldly pleasures he will not be attracted by worldly pleasures, because worldly pleasures are only for people who haven't experienced Anandam. For such a Mahatma, for such a Jivan Mukta who has realized, who has gained Anandam, worldly pleasures will come and go, but he will not go behind them. He will not get affected if something doesn't happen. He may watch the TV, he may sing songs, he may listen to beautiful music, he may go for a walk, he may do all sorts of worldly activities, including intake of tea, coffee, etc. He may be addicted to some of those as well, but still, the difference between the addiction of a ajnani and a jnani is that a jnani, though he is addicted, he has to drink a cup of coffee or tea daily. But let's say one day there is no tea or coffee, externally he may crib, he may cry, he may seem as if like he is disturbed by the addiction, but internally he will be blissful. So most of the Mahatmas or Jivan Muktas will also externally display the bliss as well. So they will not be attached or averted to anything. Raga Dvesham will not be there. So Raga Dvesham will be completely removed or negated in a Jivan Mukta. Though he may have addictions, but he has no Raga Dvesham to it. So he may drink tea daily, but there will be no Nirbandha Buddhi. Nirbandham, I need it. Such a notion or feeling will not be there. And that notion is what we call as addiction. Because such a notion, if we have such a notion, then it will affect us. It will affect us physically and mentally as well as intellectually as well. and we will not be able to do anything else. But for a jnani, he considers everything as Brahman, therefore he doesn't have any raga dvesham, he doesn't have nirbandha buddhi. If things happen, it will happen. If things don't happen, then it won't happen. So that is the situation of a jnani, because he has gained anandam. So that's what Krishna says in the second chapter of Gita as raga dvesha vayuktaistu vishyan indriyaihi charan. So raga dvesha vayuktaistu vishyan indriyaihi charan. Indriyaihi vishyan charan. Indriyas go behind the vishyas, behind worldly objects. But what is the difference between the sense object or sense perception, perceiving sense objects by a jnani and an ajnani? A jnani raga dvesha vayuktaistu. Raga dvesha vayuktaihi. There is no raga dvesham. It is devoid of raga dvesham. So for such a person, like, he doesn't have any raga dvesham attached to anything that he sees. He may get attached, like he may seem attached, but he'll not get attached. He may seem to be like a bit pleased to see somebody. He may feel as if like he doesn't want to see somebody else, but still internally he will not have any raga dvesham. Raga dvesham is when we create the notion of like and dislike and then go on adding to it. Mere perceiving something and then just experiencing it, merely experiencing without adding our part to it, that is called enjoying sensual pleasures without having any raga dvesham. It's like we are walking in the road. Suddenly we hear a beautiful song. We hear the singing of Bhimsen Joshi. We just enjoy it, relish it for a moment. But the moment we think, oh, can I sing like that? Is Bhimsen Joshi singing the same way as Pandit Jasraj? Let me try to compare both of them. Or like, is it Ravi Shankar's sitar or Shahid Parvez sitar is better? So when we have likes and dislikes, or we try to compare, that's when raga dvesham arises. Else, if we are just perceiving, there is no raga dvesham. We nimitta matram. So everything happens by nimittam. It somehow happens, that is nimittam. So it will just happen. Worldly activities, worldly pleasure, enjoyment of worldly pleasure, everything will happen as it happens. A jnani will not go behind it. When a person doesn't go behind sensual pleasures, but whatever comes, he just accepts, then atma vashyer vidhey atma. Such a person is always established in the Atman. Praksadam adigachati, he attains a prasadam. What is a prasadam? Prasade sarva dukkhanam hanihi. That prasadam is the remover of all sorrows. So the shloka can be interpreted as, don't let the mind go behind sense objects, but focus the sense organs onto the Atman. In one way, that's one way of interpreting it. Another way of interpreting it is, enjoy everything but don't have any raga dvesham. How we cannot have raga dvesham? We cannot have raga dvesham if we don't differentiate things, if we consider them as nama rupam in Brahman. If we can remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, then there will be no raga dvesham. And that is prasadam, anandam, which removes all sorrows. There will be no scope for any sorrow. And a person who has that, he doesn't need animadi. Because animadi siddhis are for like traveling. Like anima, trying to become subtle, become big, because you can like rule somebody. Become very small, you can escape from different places and all. Akasha gamanam, walking through space. All those things are not essential, because all those and many, many more like yogic sadhanas are only for eternal bliss or happiness. We seek happiness through the yogic sadhanas, but we won't get happiness unless we realize the truth of the statement of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. That means Advitiya Devi. And a person who chants the Panchadashakshari Mandram, remembering Devi to be Mithya Jagad Adhishtana, such a person will gain this anandam. Therefore, he'll not need anything else. So it is anandam, the fruit of Panchadashakshari Mantram. That is the essence of the 33rd shloka that Shankara is speaking. But we'll see the shloka And as to what he says exactly, there are a few beautiful analogy or comparison that Shankara gives here. It's like poetic in nature. This particular shloka is set in the raga called Karahara Priya. So Karahara Priya is one of the Melakartha ragam. I don't know whether you all are aware of music except Rajesh, but Karahara Priya is one of the Melakartha ragam. It's a Sampurna ragam. There is a very beautiful song of Amma which we will see after we see the particular shloka. There is also a film music, a song composed by Ilaiyaraja. We'll see that after the shloka. The shloka goes like this. Smaranyunim Lakshmi Tritayamidamadau Tavamanu Nidhayeke Nitye Niravadi Mahabhogarasi Ka Bhajanti Tvam Chintamani Kunani Bhantakshavala Ya Shivagnu Juhvanta Surabhidrita Dharahuti Shatai. So there is a popular song of Ilaiyaraja. I believe it's in Karahara Priya Ragam. Indrakye Ninda Anandame In Bhattila Iram Na 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 Sugam Tarumo Na 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 Sugam Tarumo. I think that's in Karahara Priya. And there is Amma's, like one of Amma's very beautiful song about Krishna. It's in Malayalam though. So the song is Manasamalaril Manivarnanettunna Sudhinathinayiramabhivadanam Hridayathilanavadhyasukadanam churiyunna Sudhinathinayiramabhivadanam Manasamalaril Manivarnanettunna Manasa Malaril means like, Malar means like it's flower or lotus. So Manasa Malaril, my lotus, my mind which is a lotus, in that lotus Mani Varnan Ettunna Sudhinathin Ayiram Abhivadanam. Sudhinathin Mani Varnan Ettunna Sudhinathin Sudhinam, that particular day when Krishna comes to my heart, I offer my prostrations again and again to that particular day. Ayiram abhivadanam. Abhivadanam means like I am prostrating to that particular day. Ayiram, thousands of prostrations to such a day. Why is it so? Why does the author, like, why do we prostrate onto such a day, like when Krishna comes to her heart? Hridayatil anavadya sukhadanam churiyunna sudhinathin ayiram abhivadanam. Because hridayatil anavadya, hridayatil in the heart, anavadya sukhadanam churiyunna, that sudhinam, during that day there will be like anavadya sukhadanam, there will be lot of happiness in my heart because Krishna comes to my heart. Mind. So the day when thought of God, like Ishvara or Brahman, always pervades my body, my mind, all my thoughts, that day is sacred because there'll be that day will be filled with complete bliss. My heart will be completely filled with bliss on that particular day. Krishna namam jabichum tapta bashpam porichum Bhakti Bhavon Mada மத்தனாகும் ஞான். கிருஷ்ண நாமம் ஜபிச்சும், லைக் சாண்டிங் கிருஷ்ணாஸ் நாமா, தப்த பாஷ்பம் பொழிச்சும், தப்த பாஷ்பம் தட் மீன்ஸ் லைக் வாம் டியர்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் மை ஐஸ். ஸோ சாண்டிங் கிருஷ்ணாஸ் நாமா லைக் ஹேவிங் வாம் டியர்ஸ் ஆஃப் செப்பரேஷன் இன் மை ஐஸ். பக்தி பாவ உன்மாதன் ஆகும் ஞான், பக்தி பாவம் வில் பிகம் உன்மாதம், ஐ வில் பிகம் இன்டாக்சிகேட்டட் பை டிவோஷன் தேட் டே, பிகாஸ் I will have vision of Krishna, I'll have vision of Brahman, I'll have Anandam. When that Anandam comes, like I'll be chanting continuously and my eyes will be filled with tear. Darshan saubhagya triptanay sagara na Vishnu chaitanya tel. Nah, I forgot the lines, but darshana saubhagyam, because I get darshana saubhagyam, I get the blessing, or I get the grace to have vision of Krishna, and at that time I'll see everything as consciousness. So this is a very very beautiful song of Amma. So this is set in Karahara Priya Manasa Malaril. So you can listen to the song sung by Pranavamritanandapuri. So let's get into the meaning of what Shankara gives here. So it's almost the same meaning as what Amma's song says, like the moment, like that day when I chant continuously, I chant the Panchadashakshari mantra, that day will be one of the blessed day in my life. Not one of the blessed day in my life, because at that day I'll have lot of happiness, I'll have Anandam. So Shankara says again Nitye. So Nitye means O Devi, you who are eternal, who are without any beginning and end, without any birth, without any death. Tava, your Manoho. So Manoho here, Manaha generally means mind. So Manoho means Panchadashakshari Mantram, of Panchadashakshari Mantram. So the Panchadashakshari Mantram, which was discussed previously, in that mantra, what does the mantra constitute in short? So Adav initially. So Tritayam Idam Adav. So Adav initially or starting. Smaram, Yonim and Lakshmim. So there are three, we can say the three parts of the Panchadashakshari Mantram. So we can say in short, each of them can, like we can say, we can put a Bija Aksharam for each of the three parts of the mantra. So the first is Smaram. Smaram, we have already seen the word Smaram. Smaram means Kamadeva or Manmata. So Manmata Bija Aksharam. We learned his Bija Aksharam of Ka. So here it's like a more sacred syllable. So clean. So clean is a word used here. So clean. Clean. Ka la im. So clean. So that is Manmata Bija Aksharam. Then Yonim. So Yonim is for Bhuvaneshwari's Bija Aksharam, which is Hreem. And then Lakshmim. Lakshmi Bija Aksharam, which is Sreem. So Kleem, Hreem, Sreem. There is also a mantra, I forgot the mantra, Om Aim, Hreem, Kleem. I forgot the mantra completely, but there is a mantra mentioned in one of the book, Ramakrishna Mission book, maybe this book itself, but Om Aim, Hreem, Kleem, or some mantra is there. So here the three components are said to be Kleem, Hreem, and Shreem, which come in the starting, or the, we can say like it is initially Smaram and then Yonim Lakshmi. And Idam Tritayam. So Tritayam Idam. Idam Tritayam. So this three, all these three. So means these three components are just Kleem, Hreem and Sreem. Nidhaya. Having mixed. Eke, Nidhaya, Eke, Eke means few, some people, Nidhaya, after having mixed all these three, they, Niravadi Mahabhoga Rasika, So they enjoy, like they get lot of anandam, niravadhi. Avadhi means limitation, niravadhi means without any limit. So unlimited mahabhoga rasika. They because of this chanting, because of the chanting of this particular mantra, they get like unlimited bliss. They experience unlimited bliss. So we'll come to the mantra back, but then Chintamani Guna Nibbadha Aksha Valayaha. So after have completely or continuously chanting the mantra and experiencing lot of bliss, they in their thoughts or the thought chain, thoughts like one after the other, when thoughts come, it becomes a thought chain. So thought chain becomes like a japamala. So generally people use a japamala of chandana, chandana japamala or rudraksha japamala, blessed with amma, and then they use it for chanting their mantra or counting or chanting their mantra so that they can keep focus. But here, after having chanted the mantra and getting unlimited bliss out of the chanting, these people, these bhaktas, their thoughts, their thought chain itself becomes a japamala. That means each and every thought is pervaded by Devi. So each and every thought becomes a japam of Devi. And Shiva Agnav, because of this Shiva Agnav, so Shiva here means like the Shakti Trikonam, the Trikonas, which was mentioned earlier by Shankara in Sri Chakram. So there, like so Shankara initially spoke about like 44 triangles and then one bindu as constituting Sri Chakram. So of those, the middle most three konas or three triangles, so that is Shakti Trimukh Konam, it's called. So that of in that triangle, in that particular triangle, there is a bindu. So in that triangle we can consider as an agni there. So in that agni, Surabhi Drita Dharahuti Shataihi, Shataihi, hundreds of Dharahutihi. Ahuti, Ahuti means offering of ghee. Dhara, 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 Dhara means like a lot of flowing or continuously flowing. Hundreds of streams of Ahuti offering. Of what? Surabhi Drita. So Surabhi, Surabhi Drita means like out of Kamadhenu. Kamadhenu, and the ghee that has come out of Kamadhenu. Kamadhenu itself is something great. So the ghee that comes after Kamadhenu, that is Anandam. And that Anandam, or like the knowledge that comes out of Kamadhenu, that offering into the fire. And because of that, their mind is always filled with, because of this knowledge, because of constantly burning everything, like in the fire, in the fire of in the fire of Devi, and then we can say like the ghee out of Kamadhenu, we can consider it as Anandam or Jnanam. So in the fire of Devi, like Ahuti, like we offer the Atma Anandam, we offer knowledge, and because of that offering knowledge or offering Anandam, how can you offer Anandam? How can you give knowledge? So we have to interpret or understand the illustration in the right way. It only means that we are continuously thinking about Devi. So continuous thought of Devi is like this Agni. So continuously offering Atma Anandam, continuously offering ghee onto this fire means continuously thinking about Devi. When we continuously think about Devi, everything, like our Anandam gets offered to Devi. When we offer our Anandam, unlimited Anandam, but still we get it when we chant only. The moment we stop chanting this limited Anandam, it's called unlimited Anandam. The unlimited Anandam, once a person gains moksha, he gains unlimited Anandam. Until then, any sadhana will only give a reflection of the Anandam. So pratibhimbam, it's not real, so it will be limited. Though Anandam is unlimited, we just experience reflection. And that reflection Anandam as well, we offer everything we offer, then it becomes unlimited. That is what Shankara explains. So either we can interpret the Anandam और निरवधि महाभोग रसिका एज निरवधि मीन्स वी कैन इंटरप्रेट निरवधि ऑल्सो इन अनदर वे. निरवधि मीन्स मेनी, सो वी कैन इंटरप्रेट इट आइदर एज ऑफरिंग इवन टेम्पररी आनंदम ऑन टू देवी, और वी कैन से दैट बिकॉज ऑफ ऑफरिंग एवरीथिंग ऑन टू द फायर ऑन टू रिमेम्बरेंस ऑफ देवी, thereby each thought becomes a japa mala. So each thought becomes a bead in the mala of japam. So it becomes a bead in the japa mala, and thereby such people niravadi mahabhoga rasika, they gain anandam, complete anandam of like continuous. So we can trace back. So I first explain Niravadi Mahabhoga Rasika, then Chintamani Guna Nibbaddha Akshavalayaha, and then I explain Shivagnu Surabhi Drita Dhara Ahuti Shataihi. So we can trace back. So Shivagnu Surabhi Drita Dhara Ahuti Shataihi, because of that Chintamani Guna Nibbaddha Akshavalayaha, because of that Niravadi Mahabhoga Rasikaha. And what happens is juhvantaha, they do this. So juhvantam means like offering. So this in onto this agni, they offer everything onto that agni, and thereby tvam bhajanti, thereby they worship you. They worship you by offering everything onto you. Thereby their thought itself becomes a japam, and this can be achieved by offering everything onto you. The simplest way of offering everything onto you, continuously remembering you, may not be possible to remember Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya at all times. So the easiest way is to chant a mantra, even as a picture of Mahatma Gandhi, denotes Mahatma Gandhi, stands for Mahatma Gandhi. Any moment we see the picture, we see Mahatma Gandhi. It may be tough to remember Mahatma Gandhi, but if we have a picture of Mahatma Gandhi, we can always remember. That's the reason why many people carry Amma's picture with them, carry Amma's padam, picture of Amma's padam, Amma's picture in their pocket and all, because they may not be able to remember completely. Therefore, the photo, any moment they want to see Amma, they'll open the purse and then see the photo. So that's how they see it. So even as the photo stands, photo is an easier way to remember Amma. Similarly, the mantra is an easy way to remember Devi. So a person who continuously chants the mantra, he automatically remembers Devi. It's effort, like the effort for this, for chanting the mantra, which in turn stands for Devi, is less than directly remembering Devi. Moreover, we also have the added benefit of the effects of the mantra. Mantras are sacred. They help in warding off evil. They help in making our environment good. They help us constantly being in the right mood, in the right environment, right surrounding, in order to remember Devi. So all this, it helps. So that's the purpose. So if we are able to do that, so if we are able to chant the mantra continuously, then it is like offering everything onto the Agni, which will in turn give us Niravadi Mahabhoga Rasikaha. So we will become Niravadi, a person like Niravadi Mahabhoga Rasikaha. Rasikaha, many people. So and Niravadi Mahabhoga Rasikaha, like some few people, like it means like plural there, but you can say we will become a Rasika. We'll become a person who enjoys supreme or eternal bliss out of constant chanting of Devi's mantra. So that is the aim of Panchadashakshari mantra. And we can also like interpret this shloka in a little different way. So I spoke about like Kleem, Hreem and Shreem as like the three parts of the mantra, but we can interpret it in a different way. So Adho means in the starting, Kleem, Hreem and Shreem. So this may be an appropriate meaning than what I explained initially. So adav, so first having or chanting Kleem Hreem Sreem and then chanting Kaila Hreem Hasakala Hreem Sakala Hreem. So Kleem Hreem Sreem Kaila Hreem Hasakala Hreem Sakala Hreem. So that seems to be more appropriate meaning or translation of this particular shloka than what I initially explained. So we can interpret in both ways, and so some people like say instead of just Kleem Hreem and Sreem, so there is a 5-letter, so it's like Om Aim Hreem Sreem Kleem Sau. So that's another mantra. I'm sorry for the confusion caused. So these three, like we can interpret it as Kleem, Hreem and Sreem, and then the mantra, or just chanting a Panchadashashri mantra alone is also enough. But like these three letters, are found in a particular mantra, which is Om Aim Hreem Sreem Kleem Saubhagyai Namaha or something Sau, and then something comes, I don't remember. Like if any of you go through any of the book, then and if you find it, then you can let me know as well. But it's also called like Saubhagya Mantram, in which these 5 letters come. Om Aim Hreem Sreem Kleem Saubhagyai Namaha or Sau, and then something comes. I don't exactly remember the mantra, but it doesn't matter whether we add add Kleem Hreem and Sreem or we don't add. So in the Shankaracharya.org site, the letter given is Aim rather than Kleem. But Ramakrishna Mission, they give it as Kleem Hreem and Sreem rather than Aim Hreem and Sreem. So there may be like differences of view or differences of interpretation, because there is only Smaram mentioned, not whether it is Kleem or Aim. So we don't need to exactly remember, or we don't need to chant those syllables, but just chanting Om Kaila Hreem Asakala Hreem Sakala Hreem, just chanting that continuously whenever we get time, that is also more than enough. And if we are able to get a mantra from Amma, then there is nothing more sacred than that. But this particular mantra can be chanted like for warding off troubles. So it not only helps us in remembering Devi, it not only helps us in the positive way, leading us more and more towards the goal, but it helps in warding off trouble. So if we are facing some trouble, if somebody is troubling us a lot in office, like you have a lot of problems and all, then just like 10 times or 15 times or 20 times or 108 times, if we are able to chant it, immediately the problem will be solved. So if we are in an accident, or if we are traveling in a freeway and then we find some accident happening, or like somebody driving crazy, we just need to chant this mantra some few times, and that will remove all trouble, all obstacles that we are facing. So that is the power of this mantra. So though we may have Amma's mantra, but still this mantra has its own power, because it is the Moola mantra for Devi, and Amma stands for Devi, therefore this is the Moola mantra. So we may get a mantra, but this mantra is very sacred, very powerful. With respect to our worldly life as well as spiritual life as well. So let us all try to chant this particular mantra at least 108 times a day, so that we will be benefited, and people around us also will be benefited out of the chanting. We'll continue with the next shloka in the next day. Hari Om.